Hello, hello, my good people. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing to another episode of the Simply Hoop Show. Very, very special guest in the building. Introduce yourself, please, sir.
Thanks, Chris. I'm Duncan Smith. I run Piston Powered at Piston Powered, and I also I edit 16 Windsor Ring, and those are pretty much the main gigs at Duncan Smith NBA if you want to throw a follow on Twitter.
Yeah, man, I really like what you guys are doing over there at 16 Windsor Ring, man. I like the site look you guys have is amazing, man. I love it.
Yeah, we're pretty proud of it. It's been sort of a passion project that really came together just out of a offhand comment in a Twitter group. A bunch of us were in a Twitter DM group, and somebody said, "You know, we should probably like make our own site." And we all laughed for a couple of seconds, and then pretty much in unison, we're like, we could actually do that. So,
Yeah, I follow everybody who pretty much writes for the site. I follow pretty much everybody, you know, and it's like a basketball Twitter, like a clan kind of. It's dope, man. It's dope.
across the board, we're really happy with the product that we've been putting out.
Yeah, speaking of products putting out, what do you think about the Pistons, man? How do you feel about just the path that they're on now?
It's been a path full of zigzags. The way we got to where we're at right now is not one that anybody really expected coming into the season. I think Reggie Jackson's injury is a big part of that. And you know, for all intents and purposes, it certainly seems like Reggie's still hurt. He can't get into the lane like he used to. He's pulling up for mid-range jump shots off the drive significantly more than he did last season. These just are not really the things that we expected Reggie to be bringing to the table when the Pistons traded for him and made him starter, and then they paid him last season. You know, the Pistons have been much better with Reggie off the floor than with, you know, their starting point guard and fringe all-star from last season on the floor. These are just not really recipes for success, but somehow this team is only, I think, 3 games below 500, which is not
Shocking.
where we, ex you know, it's not where we expect them to be. But when you're getting like, I would say, less than nothing out of your point guard, your starting point guard, and Ish Smith is one of your more valuable players, I think that a couple games under 500 at this point, when they really haven't quite figured things out just yet, you know, they're in striking position. A little bit of a run, and you're pretty much locked up in sixth. So,
I was gonna say that, especially with the way the Eastern Conference is shaped, them sitting at the AC right now isn't too bad, especially for the way they've been playing. And it's always difficult when you're honestly your best one of your best players, your highest paid players, just isn't performing well. You know, it's hard to kind of keep a team going in the right direction. And I feel like they've done the best job they could have with what they have, you know.
yeah, considering the lack of production from Reggie Jackson and the fact that Andre Drummond has, it looks like, plateaued and maybe regressed a little bit, the Pistons just haven't been very good with him on the floor. You know, I would say that hands down, everybody would agree that they should be the two best players on this team, and they've been perhaps the two most damaging players in a lot of ways. So, for this team to be almost 500, considering that, you know, it's not great, but if those two are actually able to figure out a way to be positive contributors, you know, that's not to say that Andre hasn't been a positive contributor, but he's not been to the degree that I think was hoped and expected. You know, if those guys have the ability to turn it around and get it into gear, you know,
Yeah, he
it's not
just,
a lost season.
for Andre, for me, it seems like I've been waiting for him to turn into just a better big man. Just I feel like he still has another level that he can go to, and I just haven't seen it yet. I'm kind of questioning if it's really there now.
Well, that's always been the hope. You know, there's been the hope that maybe he's the next coming of Dwight Howard, and in some ways there are some similarities. We can point to the rebounding and everything, but there's also the downsides in that he has this post-up game that he refuses to go away from,
Refuses.
and he's refuses, and it's incredibly inefficient. The free throws, we all know about the free throws. He's shooting 41%, I believe, now from the free throw line. If you combine his free throw shooting against the Boston Celtics and against the New Orleans Pelicans just this past week, he was a combined 2-for-21 in those two games. You know, this is not reliable free throw shooting. And when you compare the overall efficiency from his free throw shooting, from his post-up game, pardon me, it's actually less efficient on a points per possession basis than the free throw shooting is. So, you know, there are some things that Andre Drummond does really well, but none of them are on offense. And I don't think people are kind of slow to realize that he's actually a pretty huge negative on the offensive end.
Yeah, he is, because like you said, he doesn't want to give up the post-up game, but I just feel like he hasn't worked on it enough. He's not efficient enough. He still doesn't have that good jump hook. He really can't hit a bank shot. And it's frustrating for me as a fan of his, because like, I seen him play in a Drew League this past summer, and he got dunked on ridiculously bad twice. It was just two times. It was bad. He got smashed on, and that was one thing I wanted him to improve, was his rim protection. I feel like he still doesn't even focus on that part of his game. So what do you think about him defensively?
The rim protection is a problem, and I think that some of that comes from playing the bulk of his minutes since the beginning of December with Reggie Jackson, and Reggie Jackson is not a stopper, so very often you're going to have a perimeter player or guard with more or less like a free pass to the rim. And you know, it's one thing if you've got good defenders and they know how to funnel your drive into your big man, but that's not Reggie Jackson. And Andre Drummond is also not the guy who is really somebody that you want to be funneling your drives towards. I think he's allowing something like 61-62% at the rim, which is really not acceptable out of your big man, especially like this big athletic supposed athletic juggernaut that Drummond is reputed to be. That saying, he is also one of the best in the NBA at cleaning up on the defensive boards. He actually has the best defensive rebounding percentage in the NBA, and he has for most of the season. The Pistons are giving up the least second chance points per game, and I think that's a big reason that Drummond actually is, I would say, still a net positive contributor. Net rating aside, which is strongly negative, but I think that he still has something to deliver, something to bring, even as he is right now, which is flawed offensively, flawed defensively. He's also the reason why opposing teams pretty much go like one and done on offense. If they don't score on their first shot, their possession's over, and the Pistons are turning it around on them.
Yeah, that's definitely one of his strong areas is rebounding, man. He can grab a board. But another guy I wanted to ask you about is Stanley Johnson. I feel like his production is sort of being stunted by playing with the Pistons. I think that he would do better on a different team. Like, if he played on the Thunder, I feel like he'd be much more productive.
What was the stat I saw yesterday? Thunder starters not named Russell Westbrook had 10 field goal attempts. I mean, if you're gonna play for the Thunder and you're gonna share the floor with Russ, you're not gonna get a whole lot of shots. He does have the assist rate and everything like that, but it's also fairly well distributed across the board when Russ is playing. I don't know that I would say that the Pistons are not the best organization for him. I still maintain that there's hope for the relationship between Stanley Johnson and Stan Van Gundy. It's funny actually that you mentioned Stanley, because at some point today, actually, I'm hoping to get on the phone with him, and we've made plans to do a quick interview, and I've got some questions along these lines for him. So
that would have been amazing for the pod.
Yeah, in a couple hours, I might actually have some better answers to some of these questions. But as it is, I mean, speculation. We can go with speculation. I know that the Spurs were hoping to get him cheap when Stanley was sort of on the outs with Van Gundy and the Pistons earlier this season. But you'll also note that there was no Stanley Johnson buzz coming out of the Pistons camp, I think, at the trade deadline. And I don't think that it's so much that the teams weren't interested because he's young and he's athletic. Like, you know, that's a good enough starting point for most teams. I think it's because the Pistons see him as a key going forward. And I would agree with that. Offensively, I think he's regressed slightly offensively from most metrics compared to last year. But defensively, he's just Mr. Intense out there. He's pretty much just a dog on the floor. You know, like, he is after the ball. He is constantly in attack mode. You know,
constantly. I know you remember last season in the playoffs when he was guarding LeBron, and I just liked the way that he was in his grill and he wasn't afraid. You know, he kind of showed me a lot in that series that he's just not afraid to go against the big dogs.
Yeah, that's really it. Like, he didn't really slow LeBron down all that much compared to what LeBron just generally does. But from what he showed the fans and I think the basketball world at large, it's not so much that he showed that he could slow down LeBron. It's more a matter of the fact that he will get in LeBron's face for like 14 minutes per game in the playoffs. And I think that was still a pretty big deal. And that's something that you want to see out of a guy like Stanley Johnson, who is, you know, the grit on a Pistons team that is supposed to be gritty.
Yeah, he kind of has to put that role. And every team needs a dog. You know, every team needs a Draymond. They need a Matt Barnes. It's funny if those guys are playing together now. But
yeah, yeah.
Every team needs just a player who's not afraid to, you know, go at the other guys and get a technical foul and kind of be that bully. You have to have that.
You need a nasty edge. You need a mean edge like that.
You have to have one. I feel like Stanley Johnson has to be that guy for them. But him being only at small forward position, I think that they also need they need another guy in that area, man. Just somebody else. I know you witnessed Drummond being thrown out of the game for the shove.
Yeah, I did.
That was a little excessive to me.
I actually missed most of like the third quarter of that game and turned it on just in time to see that shove, and I just kind of like rolled my eyes and considered just turning it back off. It's not something that he tends to do, you know. It's not like Drummond generally has a short fuse, but I think he just pretty much lost his mind for a couple seconds and paid the price, deservedly so. I've got no argument that he shouldn't have gotten a flagrant two for that, because I think that was out of line. But it's not indicative of the kind of guy that Andre Drummond is either. And it's a real shame because he was playing great in that game up to that point. I think he was probably the biggest reason that the Pistons were keeping it close while playing utterly terribly, aside from him. So when he got the boot, that was pretty much it.
Man, and that lets you know your team is your team has a lot of holes if you lose one guy and then the game is definitely over. I think that says a lot about your roster as a whole.
Yeah, there are definitely holes. And there's also an element to this that the Pistons do tend to play better with Drummond off the floor. Just like with Reggie Jackson, like if we take a look at the on-off numbers, they're pretty stark in the way that the Pistons play with those guys off the floor rather than on. And I think that's somewhat reflective of holes as well. And I think that's partially due to the fact that when Stan Van Gundy came to town, it was with the intention of not doing any rebuild whatsoever. It was pretty much just building on the fly. And I think that's noble in the fact that like this organization had been doing a lot of losing and losing ugly for years before he came to town. And I think the fact that he got him into the playoffs 2 years later with a fairly dissimilar roster to what he was given in the first place was pretty impressive. I think he has done a better job than a lot of people think.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there, man. I feel like them making the playoffs, even as an eighth seed last year, was just a huge deal. And I wanted to ask you about the playoffs for this season. Just seeing how the Eastern Conference is sort of almost a level playing field in a lot of areas, who is it that you would love to play first in the first round? Out of all the teams you could possibly play, who would you want to see first?
I would take Boston.
Oh, wow. I expected Toronto. I expected Toronto.
Well, the thing with Toronto is the Serge Ibaka deal and the PJ Tucker deal made them a lot better. And we don't really know what the Raptors are until Kyle Lowry comes back. When the Raptors were healthy in October, when they played their season opener, the Raptors pretty much just worked the Pistons. Jonas Valanciunas pretty much he basically lit up Andre Drummond when Drummond was on the floor. The Pistons have the personnel that can more or less choose whether to shut down Kyle Lowry or DeMar DeRozan, but not both. You can stick KCP on one of them and keep him in check, but you know the other guy is going to get what he wants for the most part all night long. Whereas with the Celtics, the Pistons have played them real tough, and for that matter as well, every game between the Celtics and the Pistons this year has been a lot of fun. And I think that this Raptors team right now would probably work out the last couple of months worth of frustrations on the Pistons. I don't think the Pistons can quite hang with the Raptors squad that they're going to be putting on the floor for the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I do agree because I guess we don't really know what's going to happen with Kyle Lowry. I just feel like Boston is kind of hot right now. You know, I think them beating Cleveland gave them a lot of confidence. And Isaiah Thomas is just playing on another level. And with Reggie Jackson being so far behind, that's a nightmare. I mean, that is a nightmare.
Well, it's true. I think that for them, it's most likely, though, that KCP is going to check Isaiah Thomas. I mean, he's the focal point. You know, he's option A and B most of the time. So I think that's probably how things would work out, and I think that would help the matchup pretty significantly as well.
All right.
That's another thing as well. You know, the Raptors have two pretty potent offensive guards that they can unleash, and KCP can only be in one place at one time. he can do that one place in one time thing with Isaiah Thomas on the floor.
Yeah, he definitely can. I'll give you that one. So where do the Pistons go from here? I feel like this whole rebuild on the fly thing, like you said, isn't really working out. Or should we give it more time? I mean, what do you see happening as far as their draft this season?
I'm not entirely sure what the draft is going to look like. I think the Pistons are going to have like a pick somewhere in like the 18, 19, 20 range, something like that. I'm not entirely sure what the draft is going to look like in that area. I wouldn't be surprised to see them go for shooting guard depth. Should there be some available once their pick comes up. I think that the rebuild on the fly thing hasn't worked as well as planned because Andre Drummond hasn't panned out to be quite what he was billed as when Van Gundy came on board. I think until fairly recently, people have considered him to be like a franchise cornerstone, like the guy you build a team around. And it's been my contention for the last couple months that from all that we've seen out of Drummond, he's probably like the third or at best like second best player on a really good team. He shouldn't be like a really good team's focal point.
Yes. And he's not a superstar. He's a star, right? Player, but not a superstar player.
Right. And I think that this is something that Stan Van Gundy is aware of as well. So I think the summer could be pretty interesting. I didn't expect to see anything coming at the trade deadline. Shy of some team like just begging the Pistons to fleece them like the Orlando Magic have done the last couple of years. The Phoenix Suns basically giving Marcus Morris to the Pistons for free. You know, shy of some team just begging the Pistons to take advantage of them, I didn't see any kind of deal coming. But I think that with KCP signing his almost certain max contract or near max contract this summer, I think that there might be some changes down the road. And I think that Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson, less likely, I believe, because he's cheaper. And I think that some rest will heal that knee up. And a healed up knee might mean a different Reggie Jackson. I think that there might be some changes coming in the summer.
Yeah, I think that they have to make some type of moves. I mean, but one thing I would hate is for the Pistons to kind of have a Sacramento situation where they don't get anything really in return for what they do have in Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond. If they do decide to give up those two players, I mean, aside from obviously LeBron and players like that, who would you want in return? Like, who'd you want to replace Drummond if he is to depart Detroit?
See, that's interesting because I think that I don't think that you need like a star big man per se. I think that the more interesting question would be like if Reggie Jackson was to be moved, who starts for the Pistons at point guard? At the time that the Ricky Rubio for Reggie Jackson rumors were going on, I didn't really see a way for like the Pistons to be able to integrate a guy like Rubio who doesn't really shoot well. He's not himself particularly productive offensively. But it turns out that maybe like that model of a player is pretty much what this team needs at a point guard. When you look at the fact that like Ish Smith is like, wildly productive offensively and doesn't hurt the team defensively, I would say that the reason that is the case is because he pushes the pace and he's a very apt facilitator and he's able to utilize the weapons that the Pistons have around him. And the Pistons do have weapons, you know, Tobias Harris, Marcus Morris, KCP, Andre Drummond, and when he in the right situations. I think maybe more so what the Pistons need rather than having a ball dominant point guard in the Reggie Jackson mold would be a guy who moves the ball and can play well off the ball, is responsible defensively, and gets guys in good places. And while I swore up and down that the Jackson for Rubio trade made no sense and that it would never happen, and it wasn't going to happen, but I've come around to the idea that maybe actually that would be the best path forward for the Pistons.
That's not a bad little trade right there.
Yeah. Not necessarily Ricky Rubio himself. I think that there need to be a couple of things added in, taken out on both sides. But a guy who does something of what Rubio does.
So mainly the distributing areas of Rubio is what you would like.
Yeah. If you can find me a point guard who can be effective with 20% usage and can knock down a jump shot, I think we're in business, basically.
That's not a bad look. Let's go ahead and switch things up. Let's go and every guest I have on my show now, I kind of ask them what their view is currently on the MVP situation. Just because this season it seems so up in the air, it's like a topic that I just can't stop talking about. Like, I have to get everybody's opinion on it. So if you had to choose your MVP today, who would that be?
Today, it's James Harden.
Oh, after Westbrook again? Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah, I think that the Thunder need to climb at least to the fourth seed before Russ can make an equal claim. You know, on paper, Russ has definitely had a better season, but the Rockets are the 3 seed and the Thunder are the 7 seed right now. I don't think that you can be MVP and not have home court advantage in the playoffs. If you can be, you need to have 50 wins. You got to have one of the two, you know.
That's honestly, it's funny you say that. It's an interesting stat because no player has won MVP that wasn't at least a 2 seed. Karl Malone won it, I think it was 98 or 99, and he was a 3rd seed, but they did have 50 wins, like you said. So right on point with that stat.
Yeah, I think that's the litmus test there. If you aren't going to be a 2 seed, I think this year voters are probably going to expand their view and look at 3 seeds because, you know, you can't not have Russ or Harden being in contention for MVP. You know, I would say that would make a mockery of the MVP this year. So you've got to expand to 3, and if you expand to 3, like how far do you expand? I think that if you expand beyond 3, it's a historic Russell Westbrook season in 4 or with 50 wins. Hopefully both. That would make it easier.
Right. I do agree with you, though. I feel like Westbrook is having just an amazing statistical season, and he's just playing out of this world. It's, you can't deny it. But at the end of the day, basketball is a team sport, right? It's just what it always boils down to me. If you don't win, then does it really matter?
Basically, that's the case. You know, like if you're going to expand to like a 7 seed, like are you expanding outside of the playoffs? Like, you know, does Anthony Davis have a chance at winning an MVP or something like that in the 10 seed sometime? Like, where is your stopping point? And I think that while we're going to have a special case this year, I think the Thunder themselves need to step it up overall with the team total wins in order to get him there. I'm a Harden guy through and through. I think I'm pretty loudly on the record about that. But part of me does want Russ to make that run that would sell me on getting him MVP. If he can make that run, then I'm all in on Russ. But he needs to make that run. The Thunder need to make that run.
I definitely agree. I feel like he needs to win, like, you know, something crazy, like 8, 12 games in a row, somewhere around that range, you know, just to climb them in the standings. But I definitely agree, man. I'm in agreement with you that they have to win more. And all the stat lovers in basketball Twitter world will tell you that Russ should be MVP because of just triple doubles. But I mean, at the end of the day, the name of the game is winning. You have to win. If you score 50 and you lose, nobody really cares.
Right. I do think that Russ has done more for his team's wins than any other team, than any other player on any other team. You know, Harden's been great, but if you took Harden off, the Rockets are probably still a winning team, maybe a 500 team. If you took LeBron off the Cavs, the Cavs haven't won a game yet. And like, they definitely haven't won this season. I think they're like 2-4 last season, something like that. Like, that Cavs team without LeBron is like a lottery team, maybe. I mean, they probably would. They'd probably figure out a way. But you know, they're dreadful without him. If you took Russ off the Thunder, and you know, there was no replacement, it was just the Thunder squad as it is, minus Russell Westbrook. Are they like fifth worst in the NBA? You know, they're not much without Russell Westbrook. And so, as far as like a guy who's impacted his team's ability to win every single night, it's Russ. Just need that little bump up, you know.
Yeah, they just need a little more, just a little more. All right, man, that'll do it. That was a great episode, man. Thank you for coming on. Shout out to 16 Wins a Ring. You go ahead and shout out to Twitter again if you like.
Yeah, sure. You can follow me at DuncanSmithNBA. And like Chris said, 16 Wins a Ring is a great read every day. And if you are into the Piston stuff, all the Piston content stays over on Piston Powered. So check all that out if you would.
All right. Thank you all for listening. Definitely go and check out the Greatness Podcast Network at blogtalkradio.com/GPN. We have shows covering everything from health to finances. This is a basketball podcast. We have inspiration, pretty much everything you need. Go check it out.